55 from verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let's stop right here. We'll continue with that next week as we continue with the thoughts here, but that's as far as we're going to go tonight, so let's ask the Lord's blessing here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us clear direction Lord, that you said exactly what you meant and meant what you said, and that we can have direction and guidance and light upon our path because of the revelation of it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to meet together. Thank you for a place to meet. Thank you for a comfortable place that is dedicated to actually getting out the word of God so that we can hear and believe and follow and obey and learn. And so, Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you for as the things that we were just thankful for just a moment ago. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed this church as you have. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless. We're grateful to be here and listening. And Lord, we pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Help us. Help us in our presentation of the gospel as you have presented it to the lost here in this chapter. Lord, help us to understand what that means and where we should be all about it, because that's our job and that's what we should be about. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless. Bless here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I told you that we're compiling a video that is going to be used for our website, kind of like an encouragement or an invitation for others in the community to come to the church. A little bit about what the church is about, kind of a scene about the different classes and the different things that go on around here. And Brother Lucas Buckeye, who has the equipment and the knowledge to kind of put those together in a seamless presentation, as he has done with the 30th anniversary videos. We've had three or four of those done, and he's just professional, very good with that. And this one, I believe, is going to be done in that caliber and will be great. It'll be an invitation to the community that's saying, hey, join us, this is what we're about. We try to take that, and I was trying to, what they asked me to do, to take it, the whole church, and put it down into 60 seconds, you know. And that was really hard. It was really hard for me to try to, okay, well, what are we about? What is major here? What is our emphasis? And so I was trying to do that. And in trying to do that, one of the things that we do here and one of the offerings is that we offer salvation. Not our salvation, not what we're doing, but what the Savior does, what the Savior can do. And what a privilege, folks. This privilege, the Bible says, have all his saints. And we have that privilege here in this community of making clear salvation. It should embody our purpose and our goal as a church, the business about making clear what God has offered. That's what we're in business for. That's our goal. It's our task as a church. There's a human element of our existence that we may miss, that of being the gospel in flesh and blood. In this community, in these people, in these families here, and you and I, we are the illustration of salvation to those who are in darkness, because they're never going to read the Bible. The Bible says that our lives are epistles written in our hearts, read and known of all men. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 2, ye are our epistle. That's the message of God, the word of God, the salvation that's offered to the lost. It's an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He says, we are made able ministers. That means effective ministers. All of us, not just the preacher, but all of us in this community, to you, to your friends, your neighbors, your cousins, your loved ones. We are able ministers of the New Testament. That's who we are, what we are. That's our job, folks. Understand it. Harness yourself with the job that God has given us. In this passage, in Isaiah chapter 55, last week we began to learn the essentials of offering salvation. We said, number one, it requires a hunger and a thirst. Verse number one, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And that's what God is offering to salvation to those around, those who are hungry. And he says, and we remember, we emphasize, there's no thirst, no coming. No hunger, a person's not going to come to enjoy the gospel. They've got to have a thirst first. And God's good at that. He's good at bringing a person to hunger and thirst. It requires a hunger. It requires a thirst. Number two, it requires a poverty. Isaiah 55:1 again goes on to say, buy wine and milk without money, without price. You can't afford. We can't afford the salvation that God has provided for us. Much, much more than what we could ever pay for. But it requires a poverty. A person has got to come to Christ, poor with nothing, nothing in your hands, I come. That's what the song said. And it requires a redirection. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not? He said, this is what people do. They look for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for fulfillment, looking for whatever, as we talked about the woman at the well who was going after the water of this life and continually to get thirsty, continually go back because it's not eternally satisfying. It's not. It doesn't actually take care of the thirst. And that's where people are. They're spending money for that, which really doesn't work, doesn't help. And so it requires a redirection to get what God has for us. And so tonight we're going to continue the thoughts and the passage of where God is offering salvation. So we're looking at this passage to reemphasize the Great Commission being taught by God and his advertising campaign in Isaiah chapter number 55. So the essentials of offering salvation will go on in verse number 3. The Bible says, God says that he's going to use us as a witness. In verse number 3, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. A witness of somebody who's seen something. Witness is somebody who is in a situation where they have some information that needs to be shared with others, who saw what was going on, who was there. So he's talking about being a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee, the Bible says. God has glorified his witness. What an awesome thought. God wants us to showcase, to be a witness, not only here, but throughout the Word of God. We can have scripture after scripture after scripture that shows how that God really desires for us to be the witness of God. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, both and to the other uttermost parts of the earth. We are called to be his ambassadors. We are called to be his witnesses. The ones that herald the love of God, the grace of God, were ministers of that grace. We are witnesses. What an awesome thought that God wants us to showcase his love and his care and his joy, the joy that we have in Christ. He wants us to showcase that to the world, to show others, to get the grace of God. That's us. We are the vessels chosen to be his witnesses. Isn't that neat? How do you think that this salvation is going to be propagated? How do you think others are going to get this salvation? You know, sometimes people are waiting for some kind of writing in the sky. You know, and if I could just see the writing in the sky, then I'll be able to tell whether or not, you know, God really loves me. No, it's not in the writing in the sky. It's in the writing in the book, but it's promoted by us who know him. And it's us who can share that love. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's information, that's knowledge that we share with others. That's how a person gets saved. It's not through angels. It's not through heavenly proclamations. It's not by kings. It's not by religion or the religious. No, no, it's by sinners. The ones who have taken advantage. The ones who have been benefited by salvation. The recipients of salvation. Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's us. Angels, they have the job of helping us, of showing us the way, of ministering unto us. Angels, sometimes unawares, as the Bible says, and we don't even know whether they're there. They could look like people in the Bible. They look like men. By the way, angels always look like men, not women. People want to make angels to be women. But every angel in the Bible that has ever presented themselves as a person to be seen was seen as a man. And let me say, a pretty scary dude, powerful man. For one man to wipe out 185,000 soldiers in one night, goodness, that's a lot of men. But anyway, so, hey, that's a lot of power. Listen, angels are powerful, but their job is not to preach the gospel. That's our job. Their job is just to witness or to minister unto us. We are those, the heirs of salvation. So that's why we are the proclaimers, folks. We are the heralders. We are the preachers of the gospel. We're the propagators of the gospel because it works for us. We have received salvation. We know this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his presence and his joy and his guidance in our life. We have salvation that is brought to us, and now we have peace with God, and we have a relationship with the Lord. And because we have experienced that, it's worked for us. It's a living color advertisement. What a privilege, folks. What a privilege. You see, what salvation is, this is how it's supposed to be. People that don't know the Lord say, hey, guys, hey, pay attention. Watch how good God is to me. Watch what God does for me. Watch the difference in my life through trials and through difficulties and through heartaches. Watch what happens to me because I have the Lord. Aren't you glad that you have the Lord? I'm telling you what, people go through difficulties. I mean, really tough heartaches. And man, this life is a bummer for much of it. I don't understand how people do that. Not anymore, because I have the Lord. Somebody that sticks closer than a brother. I have his presence. I have his care. I have his providence. I have his protection, even if I don't know it. Here's Satan trying to get at Job, and so the Lord said, okay, have at it. He says, how can I? You have a hedge about him. I can't even get to Job. And so God had to let down his protection in order for Satan to even get to Job. We have a hedge of protection. Hey, you know, coming to church tonight, and maybe had that close call. Maybe you didn't know, but it was an angel that stopped the car and whatever. I don't know. You know, we don't know that. There are situations where we are protected. We're cared for. Nothing happens to us that doesn't first find itself on the desk of our boss, our manager, our owner. That's a blessing to know. So what we're to do is we're to show that to others. We're to display that to others, how good God is to me, and that's the advertisement. That's the witness. In verse 5, it says, for he hath glorified thee. Talking about the witness. He's glorified his witnesses. That means he's honored. He's blessed them. He's bestowed his grace upon us. Isn't that cool? We're blessed by God, folks. Angels don't know about redemption offered freely to men. But we do. We know that. We know that firsthand. And that's why I believe the Bible says which things the angels desire to look into. I mean, they really want to know. Here's church, and we're glorying in our position in Christ. And we don't see him. We don't know. We can't see in that realm. But I wonder if there's a bunch of angels are sitting around here or at the windows looking in saying, what is this? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? The wonderful grace of Jesus that reaches a sinner like me. But that's us. That's ours. That's our privilege. The essentials of offering salvation is, number one, that God says we are used as witnesses. Number two, in verse number 5, look at what it says. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. He says, hey, listen, in offering this salvation, ho, everyone, that you're hungry, you're thirsty, I'm offering. And God says, get ready, because there's going to be a whole lot that will come to take advantage of that. A nation that thou knowest not, they're going to run unto thee. They're going to be people that will take advantage. So he's saying here, prepare for the crowd. Because this is his offer. This is his offer to the world. His offer to those who are lost and undone, and who are needy, and those who are alone, and those who labor and are heavy laden. He says, hey, the offer is taking place. Prepare for the crowd. They'll run unto thee. We better prepare the triage area. Some of our nurses here, they understand that. Hey, there's things going on the battlefield. Hey, you better get that area ready, because they're coming in. There's going to be those who are going to be in need that are going to come in. They're going to be bleeding. They're going to need help. Get it ready. There'll be a visitation of sinners to the Lord's maternity ward, if you will. And it's so cool to see people come to Christ, because everybody comes as a baby. They come as a child. They come as a newborn into Christ. And they could have a seminary understanding of the Bible, but everybody comes as an infant into the spiritual realm of getting saved, and they come in the Lord's maternity ward. So what do we need on hand? Well, in this place, he's saying, hey, get ready, because there's going to be those coming in taking advantage of the offer that I give them. You're going to need some gauze and thread and some towels. You're going to need some beds that will be used. You're going to need, and if you're talking about a maternity ward, you're going to need some baby bottles. And you're going to need some nurses and some cooks. You're going to need some blankets. Hey, get ready, because we're offering, God is offering this thing. And he says, prepare for the crowd. You're going to need some personnel. You're going to need some, okay, now, talking about in a church situation, some training classes, some discipleship, some activities, music that will be needed for those that will be coming in. Folks, for us to put forward the divine invitation without preparation of the lost being drawn is like praying for rain but leaving our umbrellas home. You ever hear about the farmers that they would get together in drought and dependent upon the Lord? If God doesn't come through and wet the skies, then we're going to have a rough winter. There's going to be some that will starve, or some that will have a tough time. We need God to bless. And so they would call a prayer meeting. They all gather together and they would pray for rain. It'd been dry for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they need some rain. They need some rain, or otherwise they're going to lose the crops. And so they would gather for a prayer meeting, and you can kind of tell whether or not the crowd was believe God or automatically didn't believe that they were going to get anything if they didn't have umbrellas. What do you got an umbrella for? Because I'm praying for rain. Because I'm going to appeal the one who can make it rain. Yeah, but it's the forecast says no rain. It doesn't matter. I'm praying to God, and so I better have an umbrella. Unless I really don't believe that God's going to answer that prayer. It's kind of like they're praying for Peter. Did you get that in Acts chapter, I don't remember what it was, 14 or so, where Peter's in prison. They're going to kill Peter. And so they have an emergency prayer meeting. They all get together at, whose house was that they were getting together at? I don't remember. I have to look at it. But they get to, they call a cottage prayer meeting. All the saints, let's meet over at so-and-so's house, Sister so-and-so's house, and let's pray. I mean, we got to pray. We got to pray that God would spare Peter. We got to pray that God would somehow save him. He's slated to be executed tomorrow. And they're having an all-night prayer meeting, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And that night, God comes, taps Peter on the shoulder. He's between two soldiers in chains. He says, get up. Chains fall off. These guys are still sleeping. He says, come on, follow me. And they walk out. The door's open. He goes. The other door's open. They go. And he's out in the open. He's free. And the angel says, go now. Go speak in the temple and preach and continue. So he goes knocking at the door. And that's where they were praying, by the way. All the saints there together praying for Peter, and he's knocking at the gate at the door, and one of the teenage girls, Rhoda, her name was, she comes to the door and hears that's Peter. She runs in, she says, hey, Peter's here. And they said, shut up, kid. You're interrupting the prayer meeting. We're praying for Peter. So he goes, she goes, no, Peter's out. You're crazy. What are you talking about? We're praying for Oh, God has a sense of humor, I'm telling you, folks. And you see that story, you know. They're praying for Peter. Don't even believe that he's there. Well, God answered their prayers. Folks, when God says prepare for a crowd of people to be saved, do we believe that? Do we believe that people are going to get saved? Do we believe that the gospel is going to be effective for others? Do we believe that God's going to reach our friends and our neighbors and our relatives and our loved ones for Christ? Do we believe that or don't we? Hey, if we believe that, we better have the area ready for the influx because God says it's coming. Behold, this is what's going to happen. This nation's coming in. They'll run unto thee. They will come. They will respond. They will believe. Just let God deal with their hearts. And that's what we have a church building for. Folks, do you know that's what we have a staff for? That's what we have a large parking lot for. We've got a building of classroom space. Why? Because they're coming in and they're going to be saved and they're going to need to be taught. They're going to need to have places to learn. That's why we have a quality footprint in this neighborhood that's going to be able to reach those around us in this community. Why? Because God said, prepare for a harvest. You put it out there and I will bless and I will bring them in. And so he says, prepare for that. Expect the harvest. No preparation, no harvest. So you know what we're doing? We're preparing. All right, we're getting teachers ready. We're getting classes ready. Why? Because we just believe God. He said, just get it out there. He said, be the witness. He said, preach. And he says, they're going to run unto thee. You'll be the witness, and I will use that. Prepare for the crowd. Guys, let's look at this thing with a little bit of faith, okay? Let's put some faith into what God says and prepare for what he says to prepare for. So you're witnessing to that one at work, and you don't see anything happening. They're as hard as nails. They're never gonna come. How many times in my Christian walk have I kind of written off somebody? I mean, I try to witness everybody and try to, you know, reach everybody, but written them off because now they'll never, I understand they'll never be saved. You're supposed to give everybody track because you're supposed to know for sure that there's going to be others that will need salvation. And so you just do that because you're supposed to, but you know they're not coming. And then the Lord begins to convict. It's like, that's, no, Lord, him, her? Yes. You know, God wants to reach that person, and who knows who's God's working at. More than once have I just fallen on the floor because the response was, they're being worked on by the Holy Spirit, and they're coming. They want to know. They want to hear it. Or something's going on in their heart. It's like, wow, that's weird. Well, expect a harvest, folks. You know, prepare for the harvest. There's going to be no crop. Let's prepare for God doing something. Be ready. Be ready. Okay, prepare for... Okay, number one, God says, we're going to be used as a witness. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. Number two, he says, prepare for the crowd. They shall run unto thee, he says in verse number 5. All right, and then he says, verse number 6, and we're done. Tell the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say what God doesn't say. Matter of fact, it's very important for us to say exactly what God says. It's his message. It's his salvation. Allow him to speak for himself. Tell the truth as his witness. In verse number 6, this is what he says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, folks, this is a limited offer. You can't go to the lost and say, you just come as you wish. However you want to come, just come. However you want to be, you know, just, you can, okay, you can hang on to your righteousness and come on along and be saved. Nope, they can't do that. You can go ahead and with your high and mighty thoughts and your intellectualism and keep your pride and be saved. No, you can't. You got to get down and grovel. You got to get down and humble yourself before the Lord. You got to get down as a sinner. You can't come however you want. And you can't come just whenever you want. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, he's there all the time. And he'll be there all the time, just waiting in line. You know, that's the Lord. He just waits. And he'll be there whenever you get done with your sowing the seeds and everything else. Then remember to turn to the Lord because he'll be there. You can't say that. Are you kidding me? Is that what God says? No, no. He says, you seek the Lord while he may be found. You say yes to the offer while it's on the table because God's not leaving that offer on the table forever. That's what it says. Call upon him while he is near. It's a limited offer, folks. You cannot come as you wish. It's always as he determines and when he determines. That's how a person gets saved. Here's Cain. He wants to say, no, no, no. I'm going to go ahead and offer what I think is going to be acceptable to God. And I've heard people all the time say that. Listen, I'm just going to do my very best. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to be sincere. And that's all that God can require is my sincerity. I'm sorry, you can be sincere all you want and sincerely wrong with the wrong offering, and that's not going to cut it. It doesn't matter your sincerity. It doesn't matter your position, what you think is acceptable. Cain says, well, I think God ought to accept this. And God says, sorry, pal. Rejected. Noah, you remember when Noah's crowd rebuffed at the point of no return. See, that you know the Noah situation when God, this guy preached for 120 years in building the ark. And the Bible says they had 8 souls that entered into the ark. 8 people. A lot of animals, but just 8 people that said yes. 8 people that believed. Noah, his wife, and his kids and their wives. That's it. 8 people entered into the ark. There was a whole lot of people that salvation was offered. I mean, they're building a big boat. That's what it's for, to keep them safe in the judgment to come. And they were just the butt of the jokes. Everybody made fun of them. Crazy Noah. What in the world? He's building a boat on a mountain. What an idiot. And I could just imagine the talk shows and everything else that really railed on Noah before the flood came. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, and they that went in male and female and all flesh, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You see, folks, here you'll see when Noah got in that boat, God shut the doors. And God locked it up, shut him in. They couldn't come out, and nobody else could come in. God shut the doors. The offer was retracted in the sunshine. The offer was retracted before it ever rained. You see, God secured the doors 1 week before all hell broke loose. Look at Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Down to verse number 4, he says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I will destroy from off the face of the earth. He says, get in the boat, and then it says, and it's not going to rain for 7 days, a whole week. They got into the boat in the sunshine. They got into the boat. No, it wasn't raining. See, the Bible says great fountains of the deep were broken up. You know, it's an amazing thing to just go around even this state and look at all of the upheaval of the evidences of a catastrophic shaking and moving of the earth. Now, it is true that you can't have that with the amount of water that's here on the earth. We don't have enough water to cover Everest. You don't have that much water. But you know what? If the earth was absolutely round, absolutely without mountains as they are today and valleys even in the ocean bottoms, if the earth were relatively round or flat, then that means that the water that's here on earth could actually cover all of the earth by about 2.5 miles. 2.5 miles of water globally. That's a lot of water. You want to know where it's at today? I remember witnessing to somebody once, and he says, well, the Bible doesn't. It's not true. Where'd all the water go? Did you ever hear of the Mariana Trench? It's deeper than the height of 35,000-foot Everest. Deeper than that in the ocean. There's places in this earth where the ocean is very deep and got caverns and got, you know, underneath, you know, and then we have mountains that are, and those mountains weren't around. Folks, you just look at the rock and the upheaval, and you go to different places, even here in the state, and you can see there's rock that's coming out that's stressed in a way where there was some earthquake, there was some seismic movement on earth unparalleled before. I mean, God destroyed all the earth, the land animals and land creatures on earth through this catastrophic event. And it wasn't just a little shaking. It was globally. I mean, we had everything coming loose. And folks, here, can you imagine this? They're in the ark. Never had rain before, by the way. Never. They're in the ark for 7 days before the first drop of rain. You want to know what happened during that 7 days? Didn't happen just all at once. No. God's getting things ready. And you can see, you know, seismic activity taking place. You can see volcanoes, and you can see eruptions, and you can see earthquakes, and you see all kinds of stuff, and the sky begins to get dark. Great fountains of the deep are broken up, and the water canopy, if that's what it was let down on earth. And the Bible says that it rained from the top, and fountains of the deep were broken up. For that, can you imagine that? Those seven days when they're laughing at Noah. I mean, they're just having a great time with Noah. I mean, poking fun at him and calling him an idiot. And just everybody gets together, and all the professors, they get together and say how stupid this religion is. And these people are so ignorant. But during that 7 days, all of a sudden there's a shaking. And it gets worse and worse day by day. And all of a sudden there's things happening, and there's mountains that are forming, and there's fountains of the deep that begin to be broken up. And before it started raining, there was some great activity on this earth. What would you do? Really, what would you do during that 7 days? If you saw that take place, if all of a sudden Noah's in the ark and he says, okay, it's time, and they're in the ark, And Monday takes place, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and by Saturday, you're saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe Noah was right. I imagine there was probably hundreds of people running to the ark, saying, okay, Noah, listen, we believe you now. Let us in. Come on, open the doors. But you know what? He couldn't. No way. It was done. Why? The Bible says God shut them in. There was no more entry. Hey, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And God says, because there's a time where the door shuts. See, folks, that's what we have to understand. That's how we need to relate to our loved ones that think that they can just come anytime and be saved. I'm sorry, that's not salvation. It's not the salvation that God offers. When it's on the table, you take it. The Bible says very clearly that the salvation is offered in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The Bible says very clearly, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. Now wait a minute. There's not going to be another flood. I mean, God was very clear about that. But you want to know something you don't know? You don't know the traffic accident that you're going to be in on Thursday night. You don't know that heart thing is going to finally give up. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. Hey, you don't know what's going to take place. And those that are outside of salvation, listen, salvation is offered today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And listen, you understand the grace of God. We better start speaking to our loved ones with an urgency. And we're just so casual about it. Well, you know what? I gave him a track and, you know, it's going to pray for him. How about we speak to them as the Lord speaks to us about this salvation? Luke chapter 12, verse number 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? God calls this man a fool because he wasn't prepared for what was coming up. Hey, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, right now, today, you hear me, you understand, you got that pulling, you got the Spirit of God that is drawing you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not always now, by the way. See, there's coming a time for each and individual person on this earth that the now part is gone, is no more. Then what? See, the proud, the self-righteous, the wise, they want to come as they want to come, but the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. They've got to come humble. Luke 18, verse number 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he says, two men went up to the temple, and one guy, he says, oh, Lord, be merciful unto me. He was just so humbled. And the other guy says, I'm so glad. I'm like, and you know what? Jesus said, the humble man was saved and was changed, not the righteous man. You can't come that way. You can't come in however you want to come. For everyone that exalteth himself, in verse 14 he says, shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Matthew 18:3, and Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, Jesus said, you got to come like that. You don't come how you want to come. You come how I ask you to come. And you must come agreeing with God with your condition, with your situation. You've got to humble yourself. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, it's not a lot of really smart people that figure this whole thing out, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things. And he says, this is the way you come. This is how you get God's salvation. So that means that you've got to take your place as a helpless sinner before the Lord. The truth is that you can't come in your own attitude and your own time and in your own righteousness. You can't come that way. Folks, that's the salvation we offer. Let's be truthful about it, okay? We've got to be truthful with those around us in the presenting of this. What's essential in offering salvation? Well, God's going to use you and me as a witness. We better prepare for those coming, but we better tell the truth. According to what God's salvation is and how he presents it, we'd better agree with God. We better give his message, tell the truth about that. That also means that the window of conviction doesn't last forever. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. See, God decides to shut the door when he wants to, just like he shut the door in Noah's day. He shuts the door with our friends and with our loved ones. He says, enough, no more. We're not going any further. See, what you got to understand is we got to obey the prompting of the Lord. You may not have that chance tomorrow because in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man, this is what Jesus said. Now listen to what he said. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Nobody comes to Christ unless he's convicted, unless the Spirit is reeling him in. It's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God's work in a person's life. Guys, just to be real simple about it, you know the unpardonable sin? That if somebody sins, well, you can sin against Jesus and be saved, and sin against the Father and be saved, but they can't sin against the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. Well, what is that? That's the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit drawing. And you know what? If a person sins against that and blasphemes against that and kicks against that and refuses and refuses and refuses and refuses, Jesus said, no. When the Spirit of God quits drawing, okay, Spirit of God goes away. That person's gone. They're not able, never, to be saved. They're going to hell. See, the truth about it is this salvation is very important for those who hear about it to react properly. Okay? So God's going to use you and I as a witness, and it will be effective. We need to prepare for those coming, but we also need to tell the truth, to lay it out properly. It's essential. It's essential. And offering the salvation just the way that God offers it, let's tell the truth about it, okay? Every head bowed, nobody looking.